Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More bomb threats against schools and government buildings in Springfield, Ohio, after President Trump's false claims that Haitian immigrants are grabbing people's pets, dogs and cats, and eating them, and eating ducks and geese from parks. Talking about the Gaza war and whether Ukraine should be allowed to use Allied weapons to strike deeper inside Russia, President Biden and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer at the White House. The U.S. military says four ISIS leaders were killed in a U.S. raid in Iraq 2 weeks ago. An unannounced stop in Wisconsin for Democratic vice presidential nominee and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Standing in the Ukrainian bakery in Wausau, Wisconsin, in front of Ukrainians whose country's at war defending democracy, the answer is simple. Ukraine must win the war. Vladimir Putin is the aggressor.
The White House says the administration is in touch with Boeing and its striking machinists, urging them to negotiate in good faith. This is ABC News. An alleged Mexican drug kingpin pleads not guilty in a New York courtroom.
According to federal prosecutors, kidnappings, torture, and murder were common in the Sinaloa cartel under co-founder Ismael El Mayo Zambada, who pleaded not guilty to 17 counts in a Brooklyn courtroom Friday. The cartel's other co-founder, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, is currently serving a life sentence. Since Zambada's arrest, factions loyal to him and those loyal to the sons of Guzman, one of whom turned Zambada in, have been involved in deadly fighting in Mexico's Sinaloa state.
ABC's Sherry Preston. The man accused of intentionally starting a wildfire in California appeared in court for the first time today. For 34 years old, being held without bail, facing 9 felony charges. Prosecutors say he also tried to set 2 other fires the same day, a little more than a week ago. The Line Fire so far has burned more than 37,000 acres in San Bernardino County. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities confirmed that remains found recently in Two Rivers belong to a long-missing 3-year-old boy. Terry Bell reports.
Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert breaking the bad news on Friday.
It is with a heavy heart that I announce to you today those remains were identified as Elijah Vu.
The 3-year-old boy was reported missing in February. Elijah's mother and her boyfriend are still in jail, charged with child neglect, though not directly linked to his disappearance. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A complaint says a state senator broke federal rules during his run for Congress. The Campaign Legal Center says Andre Jacques of DePere transferred money from his state campaign committee to his campaign for 8th District Congress. The complaint asks the Federal Election Commission to sanction and fine Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it will be challenging this Sunday without having one of their top players available.
Jordan obviously is our number one quarterback. And I think every time you take the field, you want your best players available to you. And when they're not, then it can be challenging.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Tomorrow is a big-time college football showdown in Madison. Alabama plays Wisconsin at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash. Gold.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, maybe a stray storm late, lows upper 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow with pop-up showers and storms, high, low 80s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s Sunday. Lots of 80s ahead looking into next week. Next rain chance, midweek. It's 71 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas. And tis the season, so we'll talk about our favorite political movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. As you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here, and it's Friday with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're always fun. It's always good to catch up and talk about what's happened this past week and what the state senator has been doing, because I know even though it seems to be part-time pay, but it's a full-time job, and we always appreciate you being able to spend some time with us.
Yeah, Mitakiape, everybody. Hello to my relatives. Yeah, here in Minnesota, you know, we're supposed to be a part-time legislature, but I find that most of us work, you know, 40 hours a week on issues that really affect our community and affect the state across the board. You know, our House members are up for re-election this year. All of the House members are. They have to be elected every 2 years, where in the Senate, we're a four-year term. So I'm not on re-election mode, but the rest of our House members certainly are. And we all try to do, you know, the best that we can to support our caucus members. But, you know, I'm sitting out here on a Friday afternoon in September. It's like 86 degrees. And I, you know, it's just another indicator of how the environment is changing, how climate change is really kind of rearing its head in so many different ways. This past week, on Monday and Tuesday, I got to go up to Duluth and meet with legislators from all the states that touch the Great Lakes.
Wow.
And it's called the Great Lakes Legislative Council. So there's House members, Senate members from, or, you know, they have different names for their members from Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana and then a couple of the provinces, Quebec and the others that touch the Great Lakes. And we just had some really, really good discussion around how we are going to protect the Great Lakes. And it was fascinating to hear what all of the different legislatures and the provinces and the states are doing to, you know, sort of address this issue. And I have to say, I'm not going to lie, Minnesota often came out as an exemplar of mm-hmm. what's being done. And it was really cool because what they had a speaker come in and talk about what all the different states are doing around this. And they were showing, you know, graphs and things like that. And they were all bar graphs. And if there was a star on it, it showed that that state or that province was really focusing on equity in the legislation that they passed. And Minnesota had stars on like everything, because that's been such a big part. It's been such a great push in the legislature, you know, mm-hmm. by the DFL caucus for, I mean, the whole time that I've been serving. So 4 years in the House and 4 years in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So that was certainly a proud moment to see that yeah. they recognize the work that we're doing here.
Yeah, I had that kind of moment at the DNC when we were talking to other natives that were from across Turtle Island. Is the Great Lakes Council, is that bipartisan?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome to hear.
And you know, in Canada, they have more than just two parties. They have, you know, a handful of parties. And so it was very interesting to talk with them and hear what party they are a member of. And then also, you know, how their province has it all organized within their province, because mm-hmm. everybody does it a little bit differently. And so I met some really great people. I met, I forget what they call themselves in Canada. Anyways, she's similar to what I am. Like, she would be a senator, but they call it mm-hmm. something else. Who I think could be one of my long ancestors, relatives. Yeah. That's
cool.
Yeah. And I have a real extensive family tree that my brother has put together. It's extraordinary. And so I opened it up and showed her all the primos from Chateauguay, and that's mm-hmm. where she is from. That's where her family has been since they came to Canada.
Right.
And all her family is there. So we're pretty certain somewhere in there we are related. So that was kind of cool.
That is cool. And as natives, we run into that if we ask deep enough with people that
mm-hmm.
we connect with too. I've noticed that in my travels across Turtle Island too. That's pretty cool.
It's really cool. I think my brother's got a trace back to France in 14 something or other.
Whoa.
And then coming to Canada, to Quebec, and then, you know, dispersing from there. But it was a really neat event. Lots of good discussion. They took us out on a boat on the big lake and, mm-hmm. you know, talked about all the different things that affect it when it comes to shipping, the difference that, you know, the rising heat mm. is making on aquatic bloom.
Yeah.
That's the terminology, but the bloom, green sure. bloom. And then, you know, how much we lose of the waters. And one of the discussions was really interesting because I think a lot of states that have water, especially up in the Great Lakes, where we are responsible for that, as more and more of our nation loses their water content, their mm-hmm. you know, from the heat, evaporation, whatever, right. They're going to probably look to us and ask us to start shipping them some water. And I think the consensus really was we are not interested in doing that. You know, that we didn't do anything formal about that, but certainly something to think about in the future as especially way down south gets hotter and hotter, and they have less and less water.
Well, you probably know this too, but we have that issue with corporations already coming up and stealing water. Neste is mm-hmm. One of the big ones, you know, just plugging into our lakes here and taking off. So It is an issue, and it is going to be something coming up. Maybe legislation can really put a hammer on these people crossing lines with our precious lakes and rivers and the big lake up there.
Yeah. And one of the concerns, and I've heard this in more than one place, is about these data centers that are coming in, these big data centers, especially around artificial intelligence, that need so much energy and they need so much water to keep their equipment cool down, that there's some really big concern about those coming up in, you know, coming in, building big data centers, and then having unfortunate consequences.
Wow, that's interesting, because I have heard that from my my other job, that's a lot of corporations are looking for that, the big you know, Google and all those people. So that's really interesting. We got to keep our eyes on that. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish of Minnesota, the great state of Minnesota, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling, can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
I've often said the RAV4 from Rudy Luther Toyota is the best vehicle I've ever driven, and I just had it proven to me once again. I drove around San Francisco and the Sierra Nevadas in a RAV4 hybrid, and it was sensational. The city driving was amazing, tackling tight corners and steep city streets while looking stylish. The real challenge came when we got up into the mountain roads, and the RAV4 carved them up like a hot knife through butter, and the hybrid fuel efficiency saved me over $200 on my vacation. Win, win, win. Test drive a Toyota RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Mary T., inviting you to experience our integrative Mary T. Health and Wellness Center, offering physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Experience our guided imagery, meditation, Tibetan medicine, dry needling, massage services, including cupping and oncology massage. Sign up for our free wellness screenings and learn more at MaryTWellness.com. All major health insurance providers are accepted. Come for therapy. Experience wellness.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just talking about her past week, a few things that happened, and up with Great Lakes Council. And I want to shift gears here and talk a little bit about the debate. And I know there's was watch parties all over, and AM 950 had a big watch party. What did you do that night?
Well, I was on my way back from Duluth that evening, so I started the debate listening to it on my car radio, and I had hoped to get over to Crooner's and see you guys there, but I figured by the time I got there, it might be over, so I ended up stopping at another place just not far from my house, where there were a bunch of people gathered to listen, and I mean, I wasn't really surprised by the way it went or by the way that Kamala Harris was able to handle the situation so gracefully, so eloquently, and, you know, her self-control is amazing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what she said, there was a few things, but I want to touch on her quote about Israel and Gaza in a minute. But at first, it was just like what she said. World leaders are laughing at Donald Trump. And then he went to Viktor Orban and said that he respects him. So he was happy that a dictator respected him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you look at world leaders, who are the world leaders that you appreciating you? There are good world leaders out there that, you know, mind their own business, pay attention to what their economy is all about, make sure that their kids have the best education and affordable education, healthcare. Those are the kind of leaders that, you know, I would want to say endorse me or appreciate the work that I do. But somebody such as that, it just was, oh my goodness, does he even think before he speaks sometimes?
No, he doesn't. And it's funny, too, because the whole thing that he got impeached for was the pay for play for Ukraine. And they talked about that. You know, and it was interesting that Harris said that if Donald Trump was president, Putin would be sitting in Kiev right now and have to agree and bring stuff up like that because we have a short memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that the Ukrainian war has gone on this long. I don't think anybody expected it to. And you just have to give the Ukrainian folks so much kudos for hanging in there and for you know, their leaders to continue to do this work. It's exhausting, I'm sure, mentally, physically, and psychologically. And I'm sure, I'm pretty certain that if we didn't have a Biden-Harris leadership in the White House right now, you can bet that that would be Russian lands, Russian-controlled. Yeah.
Well, and two, she talked about that would be just the beginning and, you know, Poland. And then she talked about the 800,000 Polish people that lived in Philadelphia, which I thought was brilliant, too. She just rocked him right away from going over there and telling him because he mispronounces her name all the time. She went right over and shook his hand and you could kind of faintly hear it. Was I'm Kamala Harris. Nice to meet you. And it was just like he was totally, I think, thrown off from right the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. She took control. She took charge. She let him know that she wasn't intimidated. And yeah, there was just really. I thought it went really, really well.
Well, let's switch gears again. Let's talk a little bit about what you had to say about Israel and Gaza. And the quote after she said a few things was, it must end immediately. And the way it will end is we need a ceasefire deal and we need the hostages out. I think 80% of the world could agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that enough for you? And, you know, I'm curious because, you know, of course, these issues aren't black and white, but it's also something that I know is near and dear to your family.
Yeah, she did make a comment about what happened in October, and she made a statement that has been debunked, and that is that when Hamas took over, that they killed and raped and you know, took hostages. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is rape was not a part of that at all. There was a person who saw a young woman and her pants were down, and he made that assumption and spoke to media like that, and they just ran with it. And that whole part about that the whole thing is absolutely horrific. It's terrible.
Right.
You cannot, you know, say anything in support of what Hamas did. But for somebody of her status to continue to say something that actually is not true, It was really hard for me to hear her say that again. She said that at the DNC. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were people that corrected her on that. And from, you know, what I know and what I have researched and learned is that was actually more of an Israeli tactic afterwards when they had their own hostages or pulled people into incarceration. And so that is the part that really upset me so much. Mm-hmm. But we do have to end this as soon as possible, and we have to make sure that Hamas isn't leading into any other countries such as Lebanon and any of the neighboring countries, and whatever we can do to prevent that, we absolutely have to, because really and truly, if we can't do another war in the Middle East at the end of the day. We just are so stretched so thin. And this is something that we just can't stand by and let continue.
Yeah, I agree. And thanks for that insight, too. There was so much more else said. And I think, you know, with her calling him basically a liar, and his responses were mm-hmm. more than bizarre. And that was the strategy. And they did that brilliantly, is to have him start talking like he talks at his rallies, which are mm-hmm. basically 90 minutes to 2 hours of unhinged Trump. And he's right back into that, because he was still talking about eating cats and dogs as of yesterday's. And I think he even threw in some cannibalism in there on the side just recently.
Yeah. I mean, he just makes this stuff up. And I just have such a hard time understanding how anybody can support somebody of his caliber. It just does not make any sense at all. I mean, it's unfathomable that he could become president of one of the most powerful, richest countries of the United States, when we are supposed to be holding a democracy in place. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was saying to our guest yesterday, Arvina Martin, that with the audience that was there at Crooner's, it was in the beginning that we were laughing because it was so ridiculous, but I had to sit and pause after laughing with everybody and going, there's 60 million people that believe this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So our due diligence, you know, is so important. You know, Wendy and I are going to vote as soon as possible so we can help other people get out to the polls and take care of it from our end. But we all have to have a plan, right, State Senator?
Yep, absolutely. Get a plan on how you are going to get to the polls. And I'm going to ask you to vote for Kamala Harris and our very own Tim Walz, so that we can make sure that we don't have somebody as kooky as that in the helm of incredible, not only wealth of our nation, but as chief of staff for commander in chief for the military, all of those things. I mean, they talked about the 2025 plan.
Right.
He says he still doesn't know anything about it, but he, you know, uses plenty of them as he goes. So here in Minnesota, we can start voting next week on September 20th.
Yeah.
So that's when early voting in Minnesota starts. You can do in person, you can do mail. And this is that presidential election year that is going to make all the difference. We are also electing a U.S. Senator and all of our state House of Representatives and the U.S. House of Representatives. So there's lots of local elections as well as at the county.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. More bomb threats against schools and government buildings in Springfield, Ohio, after President Trump's false claims that Haitian immigrants are grabbing people's pets, dogs and cats, and eating them, and eating ducks and geese from parks. Talking about the Gaza war and whether Ukraine should be allowed to use Allied weapons to strike deeper inside Russia, President Biden and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer at the White House. The U.S. military says four ISIS leaders were killed in a U.S. raid in Iraq 2 weeks ago. An unannounced stop in Wisconsin for Democratic vice presidential nominee and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Standing in the Ukrainian bakery in Wausau, Wisconsin, in front of Ukrainians whose country's at war defending democracy, the answer is simple. Ukraine must win the war. Vladimir Putin is the aggressor.
The White House says the administration is in touch with Boeing and its striking machinists, urging them to negotiate in good faith. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 52 people will lose their jobs at a farm machinery factory in St. Nazian's later this year. CNH industrial officer notified state workforce officials about the layoff plan this week. The company isn't saying why it's letting so many people go. The layoffs are scheduled for mid-November. Wisconsin health officials are asking more people to take a survey about the well-being of women and kids. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Maternal and Child Health Survey covers things like prenatal care, postpartum mental health, birth outcomes, and access to resources. And they need more responses. Dr. Jasmine Zapata.
It's very important that we have diversity of voices, of backgrounds, of experiences.
They want to hear from more African Americans, Native Americans, more people near Milwaukee, and more people who live in rural areas. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift had her own network special last Wednesday night, also known as the Video Music Awards. The event took place at the UBS Arena in New York, and Swift was a big winner. It took the stage often for acceptance speeches while taking home lots of hardware. For the third year in a row, the megastar won Best Music Video for Fortnite, on which she collaborated with Post Malone. The video also won Best Direction. Swift's video for Anti-Hero won in 2023, and her own version of All Too Well took home the prize in 2022. Swift also won Artist of the Year for the second year in a row. She is the only artist to win the award in back-to-back years. That's right, she is no longer an up-and-comer. During Swift's many acceptance speeches, she honored the victims of 9/11 and surprised everybody by giving a shout-out to Travis Kelce, who she referred to as her boyfriend. Swift also encouraged people to register to vote. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, maybe a stray storm late, lows upper 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow with pop-up showers and storms, high, low 80s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s Sunday. Lots of 80s ahead looking into next week. Next rain chance, midweek. It's 69 degrees right now.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the sports news of the week as well as Governor Tim Walz in Superior. Let you know what happened. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Stay with us.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, I do. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota, and we're winding down here in our last segment with her. And we just touched a little bit on this in the last segment, but make voting a tradition. I love that saying, and let's talk a little bit about that and what we can do to help our relatives vote.
Yeah, it's it should have been a long tradition by now for Native folks to get out and vote in these national federal elections. And historically, you know, we've been left out and it's been made very difficult for generations to participate. Of course, Native folks couldn't even start voting until like the 1920s, yeah, in the 1920s. They had to get citizenship, and then they had to, then it was really up to the states to allow Native folks to vote. And it wasn't until 1967 that New Mexico was the last one that finally passed legislation that allowed indigenous people, Native people to vote in those elections. And so it's absolutely important that we all use the power of the vote to get out there and make the choices of the people who are going to be making the decisions for you in Washington, D.C. and locally. I mean, when you think about when all those treaties were signed, you know, when the chiefs and the leaders would travel out to Washington, D.C. and they'd put on their best regalia and their headdresses, and they'd stand there and take a photo with the President of the United States because they just signed a treaty. It's because a lot of the time they had no other choice.
Right.
And there were so many promises made by the government of the United States that were never kept, or they were changed behind the backs of the chiefs when they didn't realize it, what was going on. And we're still living with those things today. We absolutely, as Native people, need to have folks in leadership roles where they can help make decisions that are going to not favor Native Americans, you know, not give away everything, but to do some kind of restitution for the, you know, the ripoffs that have happened over generations. And so voting is one of those. And when you think, like, my grandpa couldn't even vote until he was in his mid-20s. He was already married. He's already, you know, a father, and he couldn't vote. Now, that's not right. But when we think today of all those people that can vote and don't vote, you know, you're not doing yourself any favors by not voting. So here in Minnesota, as we said, you can start voting early next week, and I hope that everybody does. NACDI has a kind of a get out the vote program called Make Voting a Tradition. And last night I had a meeting with a bunch of folks, Native folks. I'm the co-chair of Get Out the Vote for Indians here in Minnesota for the Democrats. And you know, trying to figure out how to reach all the people, make sure that they're registered, that they have a plan to get out and vote. So it's going to be exciting. And I think, as in the last election with Joe Biden, this Native Americans across the nation could be the ones that decide who is going to lead this country and who is not.
Well, let's talk about Wisconsin. We do that a lot here because we're all over, beamed all over Wisconsin, State Senator, and that Biden won by 20,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin. That's three votes in each voting district.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking. So
yeah,
we do our best here on Native Roots Radio to get the word out and have so many people like you on and advertisers, and it's exciting because that literally does say your vote does matter when you break it down like that.
Well, it really does. And I think of, you know, the difference it's made in Minnesota to have Native Americans in the Minnesota House, in the Minnesota Senate, of course, yeah, in the Lieutenant Governor's seat, but also in the county, in the school boards, all of those things bring, you know, a unique voice to the different situations and the decisions that have to be made. And so just really excited and hope that all of our listeners really do take this seriously. Get yourself registered, make a plan to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's exciting about our listeners is that I believe most of them will be doing that, but we have to remind them to take their relatives to the polls. And I think that's really important for me and Wendy to vote early so we have that capacity to help bring people.
We passed some legislation to create sort of a mobile voting site, like a, you know, a bus, like a bookmobile, only a voting mobile that can go around. And we had to organize and facilitate it through the county, because that's the county's responsible for elections. And a number of counties are in agreement and, you know, organized it so that it happens. I think Aiken County said, no, we don't have the time or whatever it is, the resources to do this. But I think we're going to see in the future a lot of the barriers to voting. Number one, you can't put it in a place where people are going to be intimidated. So you can't put it in the sheriff's office or the police department. You have to have it open certain hours so that it doesn't affect people who have to work. You know, all sorts of things. And it's just, I'm just really excited. I'm hoping that the votes will show that more and more of our people are voting and voting to make a really good decision.
Yeah. And it did the last cycle too. I remember our relatives in Arizona and Wisconsin and all over. And of course, Minnesota really were the difference in a lot of those elections, Michigan. And so we just have to keep talking about that. And we have to act like we're behind. I don't believe we are behind. I don't think they really talk to Gen Z on the phone and ask them who they're voting for. And those are it's our biggest voting block now. And, you know, the vice president, I guess, she's a Gen Xer. So she's going to be the first one in that generation to be elected as president. Like Clinton was the first boomer. So this is a big deal and a big turning point in a good way for this country, because she's trying to put this country back together. And it's going to take a few years. But I like what she has to say, generally speaking. And I believe, too, we can push the Democrats more progressive, but we have to get them in there to do it.
Yeah, 100%. We have to give them that time and place to get these things done. Otherwise, it's really not going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like the governor has rubbed off a little bit on her, and she's, I can't say right off the top of my head, but I feel like I hear some things coming from her that might have came from Walz and his, the way that he thinks. So that's a good partnership, and I'm really, really happy about that.
Yeah, they seem to have really good chemistry with each other. I mean, you know, Walz is a pretty happy-go-lucky kind of guy, and I have a feeling that she's more of a positive person than a negative person. And when you're around somebody that brings that kind of energy and enthusiasm and optimism, you know, when you get those two kind of people working together, in something like this, I mean, president, vice president, doesn't always have to be somber, morbid, woe is us, all kinds of things. There's a lot of really good things happening. You know, just to go back to the debate, I wish she would have talked more about some of the really great things that happened in Biden's administration. You know, we have to remember that after COVID, we didn't have a recession, and which is pretty remarkable.
Right.
And while inflation did go up, which is sort of a natural thing, it has come down considerably. The jobs that we've added to the economy, you know, is just getting better and better all of the time. And so I feel like they're probably feeding off of each other and supporting each other in a really good way. And I hope we see that more. I hope we see more of the positive stuff rather than always the negative things that are happening. And I know they're trying hard to find any kind of dirt or negative on Tim Walz, but I'll tell you, these last 6 years with Tim Walz as our governor have been really, you know, it's been extraordinary to be in the state legislature where we have been able to really put the ship right again in Minnesota and build on the work that we wanted to do for so long. So I'm actually very excited for them. And of course, we'll have a new governor, a new lieutenant governor, a new president of the Senate. It's going to be a lot before January 14th.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be overwhelming in a good way. We only got a minute left, but I want to tell you, Wendy and I saw a great sign when we were coming home, and it said that I'm voting for Gus's dad.
Yes.
And I thought, that's a great sign. It gives you a new heart.
Yeah, I think that whole situation probably changed a lot of people's minds. And there might be people that said, I'm just not going to vote. You know, I'm a Republican. I just can't vote for a Democrat. But I can think of three people who were Republicans who told me that. And then they're like, after that, I'm going to vote for Walz. I'm going to vote for Gus.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, when somebody opens their mouth like that, that's horrible.
Yeah. Well, thank you, State Senator Mary Kunesh. Really appreciate you stopping in each week and giving us a great update and a summary of what's happening in Turtle Island. We really appreciate you.
You bet. Wopilatanka, everybody. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back right after this short break.
Fame, fortune, family. It's all on the line in the Lehman Trilogy on stage at the Guthrie Theater as three brothers transform their humble family business into a world-renowned finance firm. Spanning 170 pivotal years of American history, this compelling portrayal of the real-life Lehman Brothers follows the rise and fall of their family dynasty. Will the rewards outweigh the risks, or will their legacy crumble under the pressure? Don't miss the Lehman Trilogy at the Guthrie, September 14th through October 13th. Tickets at GuthrieTheater.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
I was singing during that, too. Hey, I want to welcome my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been a founder of Native Roots Radio 8 years ago, and we've been talking about our Sacred Animals Weekly for a long time. Welcome, Welcome, Wendy.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And today's Friday, so we have a fun fact Friday. Just some random facts here and there that I'd like to share. So the first one is a dog, and he says, when I was alone on death row, scared, alone, and confused, a breeder didn't come to save me. An animal rescuer did. So I just want to keep that in mind and always say, please adopt, do not shop.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for the applause. Here's a picture of a guy laying in bed with his dog, and they're like snuggling up. And he says, if I die before my dog, let him see my body. Dogs understand death. I don't want him to think I abandoned him.
That was, so, that was more than fun facts. That was heavy.
It is heavy. So, Robert, my request to you is if I go before you and Wanda's still around, I want Wanda to see my dead body. Because I don't want her to ever think that I abandoned her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She thinks that every day when you leave.
Oh, I know. Poor little. She really does have terrible separation anxiety.
Yeah.
Poor thing. I know. There is a Japanese legend that talks about a method to find cats that have been that ran away from home or got lost from home. And the technique is to talk to the street cats in the neighborhood. So you talk to the street cats in the neighborhood and you ask them, you talk to them like you would talk to anybody else. And you tell them about your cat's name, what they looked like, you know, how much you care about them, and to please help find them. And they're supposed to help find the cat and bring them, send them back home.
We got a street cat that comes across the street.
I know. Do you remember his name? He has a collar with his name on it. No. I can't remember. It's like Oscar or something like that. He's very, very friendly. I mean, Robert like was picking him up and cradling him like a baby, and the cat was just like hanging out.
He came back and rubbed on me.
Well, the thing is, though, I have like
anxiety.
I have like it's one of my pet peeves. If you're going to let your cat out, that's fine, that's your prerogative, but put a bell on your cat's collar. Cats kill a lot of birds and chipmunks and, you know, butterflies and, you know, like, they're hunters.
Yeah, we have all those in our backyard, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah. So here's a funny one. I'm getting to the funny stuff now because, you know, it's Fun Fact Friday, but you got to share some of the other stuff, too, you know.
Yeah.
The real hard stuff, right? So there's this guy, he's in a theater and he works in the theater, and there's a cat sitting there. And he says to the cat, you're going to be a seat filler. So if somebody leaves the theater, leaves their seat, you have to go sit in it right away. Can you handle that? And the cat is thinking in his head, I've been training for this my whole life. You know how cats like just jump in your seat as soon as you get up?
I just got to say that you said, I'm going to read some memes months ago. And I went, what are you talking about? But these are hilarious. Haley's over there laughing.
I am.
The word animal is derived from the ancient Greek word anima. Anima, not enema, anima.
Okay.
And it simply means soul.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was more
the
than
ancient
fun
Greek word anima, A-N-I-M-A. I'm a dog trovert. I'm not an introvert or an extrovert. I'm a dog trovert. So a dog trovert. A dog trovert, yeah, you're a dog trovert too, is a person who prefers spending time with dogs rather than people. I could be a cat trovert too, or animal trovert. I could just be an animal.
So am I a wife trovert?
Sometimes rather hang out with a cow. You know? You have to go to this little sanctuary. I really.
Haley or me and you?
Well, I'm going to just give him a quick shout out. It's in Minnesota. I have to look exactly where it is. I'm gonna look it up really quick. Oh, there's Wanda talking on the. Let's see, Soul Space Animal Sanctuary.
I went somewhere this morning and saw the bison at the Bellwin Conservancy in Afton.
Really?
What?
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Let's go see us. Let's go, Wendy.
I've been there twice.
Where is it? Uh-huh.
It's in Afton, Minnesota, so it's okay. East Metro, east of the Twin Cities, and it's they just put new, I don't know when they did this, maybe a couple of years ago, but the herd that's in there right now is an all-female herd, and then they switch them out each summer, so like next summer is going to be an all-male herd. Mm. I'm not sure why they do it that way, but it's cool. They have like this big overlooking tower that you can go up and then look out into the field and see the herd.
Wow, that's very cool. And
you can't go down there and pet them, right?
No.
No. Please don't try.
Is it a sanctuary or is it a
A
breeding facility? Do they kill the animals and eat them?
No. I'm pretty sure it's like named the sanctuary or something.
Oh, okay. I could do that. Yeah. So this place, I've brought Olivia and Renzo there, our godchildren. It's called Soul Space Farm Sanctuary.
I think I was there.
Richmond. Oh, it's in Wisconsin, but it's like right over the border. It's Richmond, Wisconsin. It's called Soul Space Farm Sanctuary, and it's a really cool place. And you know, you could just drive up there and just
10 miles
and
pet, from the border
and pet the animals too. They have sheep and pigs and cows and all kinds of peacocks. You had a goat that ate. So Robert,
ate my medicine bag.
Robert wears like a medicine bag around his neck that has tobacco in it or sage or what does it have in it?
All
it has
above.
Medicine
it
in
has
it
medicine.
Just to, you know, keep the evil spirits away. And the goat ate his medicine bag
in seconds.
It was just like chopping down on it. And we were like, whoa. Oh,
wow.
The kids were laughing and screaming, and the goat was just having the best time eating.
And there was horsehair on that, too, that he thought was delicious.
Everything. Yeah, I know. It's funny. So anyway, we have to make another trip there. We usually go around twice a year. We donate stuff and, you know, give them money.
Last time we were there, it was warm and the bees were out.
Yeah, I think it was around this time last year we went. They had a fundraiser and we went and we won the raffle. The kids won the raffle of all these games, like a whole bucket of all different kinds of games. God. So they were really happy about that. But anyway, Soul Space.
And that's only 10 miles off the border of Wisconsin.
It's a really cool place. Yeah. So dogs, they have these therapy dogs that go into the courtroom and they sit with, they comfort victims when they're testifying against their abusers. Yeah. And the dogs stay with them and the dogs comfort them and help them while they're testifying against their abusers. How about that?
I need a dog.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. So here's Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark, and it's leaving. It's leaving. It's pouring rain, and all the animals are on the boat, and it's pulling away. And the two unicorns say, "Oh crap, was that today?" So that's why we really don't have any unicorns.
That's a good one.
And here's a quick one. An emotional support dog sitting on the couch on his owner's phone, and the owner says, "You know, liking my posts isn't really emotional support." Have a great weekend.
These are better than fun facts. Hey, we're still here. Thank you, Pini Gigi, Wendy. We're still here, and we are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Dom Selvia.
Next time, join me as we start the new week barreling towards the presidential election. We'll have a week full of special guests, celebrity hosts, and you tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Talks to try to end the machinist strike at Boeing resume next week, says the federal government's mediation service. On the picket line in Renton, Washington, Brian Hatcher.
We build a product here that the entire planet flies on. When we finish a job, our signature is legally binding for that job. There is no other union that builds or does what we do.
Talking about allowing Ukraine to use European-made long-range missiles to strike deep inside Russia, President Biden and British Prime Minister Starmer at the White House. Bomb threats, schools evacuated, city officials...